Lecture topic, Thinking Big for Dean.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'd. We have this kitab in front of us, Khazain Ma'rifat wa Muhabbat, the treasures of Ma'rifat and the Muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. This is a compilation of the different sayings and writings, excerpts of writings and excerpts of the talks of Arif Billah, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Maud Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So like we have previously been reading from his kitabs and trying to understand the message. So again, inshallah, today we have a few topics here. Allah Ta'ala make it a means of benefit for myself and for all of us. As mentioned many times, that one is to just express the crux of the lesson that is in here, and the other is to read through this, what is mentioned here, and then discuss it. Outwardly it might seem like the first option is far more better because it's straightforward, but the barakat and the effect that comes from reading their words can't come in expressing their message alone. Obviously that message carries that nur, but their words have something different in it. So therefore, on these occasions we take the benefit of this, of reading their words and explaining it as well. This is not a thing to be able to be understood, as we say, rationally. Everything can't be understood rationally. Rationality has its boundaries as well. And things that are direct things of deen, that we don't put the rationality in it. For example, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, had deen been based on, of our understanding, our rationality, how we rationalize things, how we try to understand things, how we try to analyze things. So we base things on our analysis, our intelligence and so on. You see, if that is how deen was going to be understood and deen was based on that, then the khuf, the moza, the leather sock. So when a person has that leather sock on, so on the leather sock, it is permissible to make masah instead of washing the feet at the time of wudu. Obviously, there are various masail that are related to it. What's the duration for which that masah will last? From when can that masah commence? Etc. There's various masail related to it. But the point is that when a person now, he is wearing those khufain, those mozas, leather socks, so now he's permitted to make masah on it. The masah is a substitute for the washing of the foot. But Shariat has allowed this, that in the case now that he's wearing that leather sock, he can make masah on it. So now that masah is a substitute, washing the feet, so the entire foot is washed up to the ankles. So now it's only the masah going to be made. So outwardly, the masah should be made. It's not even going to cover the entire sock. It should cover that portion which is most likely going to be dusty in some way or whatever that's underneath, the part that touches the ground. But the method of masah is you make masah on the top of the sock, not under. That's how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to do it, how he did it. So he says, if deen was based on our rationality, then we'll say, no, it must be under, not on top. Because the under is what touches the ground. So the lesson in that was, don't try to rationalize deen on our understanding. No, certain things are amrit ta'abbudi. It is just to be accepted as it is. And don't try to get deeper than that into our analysis. Just to be accepted. So likewise, there are many things that are related to deen, stem from deen, that fall on the same principle. So for example, we talk about person does certain amal, this fills the heart with noor. It fills the heart with noor. So now somebody wants an explanation of that in a manner that how we try to understand 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. So now you want to understand how this nur comes in, from where it enters. So now something from externally has to go inside, then there has to be some pathway, and then how it goes, where it resides, and what's the, then our life will come out in that, and we'll get nowhere. So, when the Hadith Sharif and the Quran Sharif describes this, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ, Allah has opened somebody's heart out for Islam, then this nur from his Rabb has come into his heart. Now, which eye, physical eye, is going to be able to see that nur? And which person's intelligence is going to be able to understand this nur? This is something to take it as it comes. Allah has mentioned it in the Quran Sharif. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given the signs then. What is the sign that this inshirahu sadr has happened, this heart has opened out? Al-inabatu ila daril khulud, al-tajafi an daril ghurur, wal-inabatu ila daril khulud, wal-isti'adadu lil-mawti qabla nuzulihi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the three signs that this heart has expanded for Islam. That number one, he'll become disinclined from the dunya. Doesn't mean he will not use the dunya, but his heart won't be attached to it. His heart won't be attracted by the dunya. His heart will become somewhat distanced from the dunya. He'll be living in the dunya, be using the dunya, enjoying Allah's ni'mats as well, but the heart won't be attached to it. It's a sign that this nur has come in the heart. He's not hankering after dunya. He'll also make his effort to earn his halal rizq. If he can afford some luxury, he'll make use of it, no problem. But his heart won't be in it. And not just that the heart won't be in dunya, but the heart now will be, وَالْإِنَابَةُ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الْخُلُودِ. The heart will be inclined towards the eternal abode. So this Darul Ghurur, dunya, Darul Ghurur, Allah mentioned in the Quran Sharif, also calls it the abode of deception. Dunya is full of deception. And dunya deceives us also. And one of the biggest deceptions of dunya, that it deceives insan, to think, no worry, you're here for a long, long time, you don't need to worry anything for the next 20 years, 50 years. So carry on. And then sometimes a person doesn't even have 50 minutes left of his life, because of what's going to happen just now. So he's planning for 50 years to carry on with life and enjoy life, but he doesn't have 50 minutes of life left. That's a deception dunya puts us in. The deception, carry on now, do what you want now, make tawbah later. Sorry. Everybody is carrying on in this manner. So you carry on also. Do what you want now, make tawbah later. You make tawbah, everything be done. But that's a deception shaitan puts a person in. And this is a deception of dunya. That when a person makes that his way of life, then first he'll say, A'udhu Billah, that do it now, but make tawbah later. And then gradually he won't even think about tawbah. So in any case, the point is where we drifted from again, that these aspects about this nur that comes from the words of the Ahlullah, from their writings, from their talks, this has its own impact and its own effect. And it's not something that can be understood in a manner of rationalizing things in how we do other things. This is something that is to be experienced. Something to be experienced. Like a person, nobody can explain taste of any item. Can't explain it. You can give some kind of understanding of it, but come nowhere close to the reality. This too is a matter of experiencing it. But that experience will come with two things. With adab and talab. That there is talab, a person is seeking that benefit. He wants to get to that point. Not just a a passing of time or just testing out something or whatever other intentions and motivations there might be, this genuine talab, there is that seeking for it. This is a very deep thing. And together with that talab is adab. So now sometimes a person, maybe he is reading some kitab of the Ahlullah, listening to some talk of theirs, maybe some recording. So only the person sat, heard a whole 1 hour bayan, or read one kitab for 1 hour, but in a very relaxed mode, in a very, very casual manner, inshallah he might benefit something from there. But if he listened or read for 10 minutes, but with full talab and adab, then he would probably benefit far more than listening for even 3 hours in that other manner. So it is that talab, the giver is Allah Ta'ala. The giver is Allah Ta'ala. It comes from Allah Ta'ala alone. So it doesn't come from the means. The means is only the means. But it comes from the benefactor. Benefactor is Allah Ta'ala alone. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Allah says, had it not been, and if it's not for the grace of Allah Ta'ala and for His mercy, then مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Person familiar with a little bit of Arabic also will understand the extent of emphasis in this statement, in this part of the ayat, in this ayat of the Quran Sharif. What is the extent of emphasis? It's really on a very high level of emphasis. مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. This composition of the statement itself, of the ayat itself, already has emphasis in it. From a grammatical part of it. And then in the end, abada. Not a single person would have achieved any level of tazkiyah. Allah is saying, had it not been for Allah Ta'ala's grace, Allah Ta'ala's mercy, person can do whatever he wants to do and how much he wants to do, but if it's without the grace of Allah Ta'ala on him, he won't get one step forward. One step, half a step. So therefore, part of the effort and very important part of the effort of tazkiyah is dua. Extremely important. That with that dua, then if a person is making earnest dua properly, regularly, daily, number one, his attention will never come towards his efforts. His efforts must happen. But his attention won't come towards his efforts because he's conscious all the time, it will not happen with my effort. So if some progress has taken place, he won't become conceited in any way. He won't become proud in any way. He won't look down upon anybody else. Because he'll all the time be conscious. It's nothing to do with my efforts or what I did. It's purely Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy. And with Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy, there is no basis to be proud of anything and no basis to look down upon anybody else. One person, unfortunately, got into some bad habits. So now, someone who knew him very well, he says, look, this person was going so well forward. And his progress in deen, he was really somebody to envy. He was working so well in terms of his amal, his salah 5 times a day in the masjid, and all the time in good time, ahead of time in the masjid, all the time see him in right company, see him in the right programs, see him doing all the right things. Don't ever notice him doing anything out of line. And then Allah knows best, and that nobody can say, Allah knows best. But he says, Allah knows best what happened, but he took such a U-turn that those who were struggling and coming and going, but they were looking at him and envying him. He went far lower than them also. Now what happened? Allah knows best. Allah alone knows what happened. But the person who was now out of concern for the party who he was talking about, and the concern was that he was asking, making some mashwara now, how do I go and try and approach him and try to bring him back. So now, for that purpose, he was giving a little bit of background so that he's understood now what things were, where he was. He says, look, Allah knows best what happened. But he says, once there was one incident, whether that has got anything to do with this or not, Allah knows. But it's an ibrat. It's a very, very great ibrat. So he says, there was somebody very close to him in his immediate circle, to the person now who unfortunately took the U-turn. And that person was caught up in some habits. And he used to, from time to time, also encourage him, look, don't get into all this. He says, once he came and this person was in a different state, and he sort of took off with him, but in that taking off with him, and in reprimanding him, he didn't give me any details of what was said, but he said he made some statements which were very, very wrong. Allah knows best what statements he made. Apparently, what it appeared to be, like as if he was writing him off. You're a write off you, and there's no way you're going to make it anywhere. Or whatever, Allah knows best what he said. But the person who heard it firsthand, he says, this just shocked me at that time. And when I see him now, this all the time keeps coming to mind that Allah knows best that this is what he blurted out, whether this became the reason for his downfall. At that time, a person looks down on somebody else and he thinks of himself as better. Thinking of himself as better, and that's gone into shaitan's territory. Ana khairum min. I'm better. And when shaitan went on that note of I am better, then he fell so hard that because of the extent of how big he made himself, he fell so hard that till Qiyamah and after Qiyamah forever he is gone. Quran Sharif endorsed his destruction forever. So shaitan made himself too big, right in the court of Allah Ta'ala, and against the direct command of Allah Ta'ala. So he fell to this extent, that accursed forever. But anybody follows that line at whatever level, but then these are the consequences. That a person thinks of himself, I'm better. Yes, we can never ever condone a sin, but don't ever look down upon the sinner. Because tomorrow is another day, and we don't know our tomorrow too. And we don't know somebody else's tomorrow also. So the wrong is wrong. The wrong is 100% wrong. This is a subject matter that keeps coming up, and we keep discussing it, and it happens without any pre-planning of it. Allah Ta'ala wills that it comes, but it's a very, very fundamental lesson. So, that progress that happens, happens only with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. No aspect of our effort has anything to do with it. But we have to make the effort. Allah out of His grace sees the effort of His banda and sees His talab, sees His adab, sees His sincerity, His genuine wanting to take the step forward. He is not wanting to just put up a pretense of some sort. He is not just putting up some front. Allah sees the heart. We also sometimes get deceived with our outer appearance. Whereas we know our hearts. But sometimes we stand in front of the mirror too and think of ourselves as good. And especially if somebody greeted us and said some one, two words, then we forget about what we are and who we are, like that horse. Old story about that horse. Person wanted to sell his horse and he gave it all the faults of the horse he knew. And he got so fed up with the horse that he finally decided to get rid of it. But then the auctioneer needs his commission. And he's going to get the commission by now. More higher price he gets, the better commission. So to get the higher price, he has to praise it. So now all the false praises he started off with. This horse is like this and like that, and whatever else. So the owner was standing there, he got so impressed. He said, no, I decided not to sell the horse, I want to keep it. He got so fed up with it, he wanted to get rid of it. But just few words of praise, he forgot all the faults. Forgot all the problems, all the years of endless issues he's having with the horse, he forgot about it. Just few words of praise, how it just blows everything away. Same, sometimes people praise us, one, two lines here and there. All our own problems that we know so well, we forget about it and start thinking something about ourselves. Start feeling that I'm somebody also. And all the problems, the real destructive issues within us, and the fact that we are just surviving on the grace of Allah Ta'ala's Sattari. Allah Ta'ala has covered our faults. So we're walking around still. That is the reality. It is Allah Ta'ala's Sattari. Allah is Sattar. He covers the faults of His servants. And somebody persists and tears open that veil, then now he's done harm to himself. But Allah gives ample respite. But a person persists and then blatantly goes on with things, then eventually Allah forbid where it reaches. So in any case, this is the issue, that never ever to look down upon anybody. We have no basis to look down upon anyone, neither to think good about ourselves. Allah forbid many a U-turn has happened in this dunya. Allah save us from that. If there's ever a U-turn, it must happen from the wrong direction, take a U-turn back to Allah Ta'ala. That's by means of Tawbah. Tawbah is ruju. It is a returning to Allah Ta'ala. That's the only U-turn that must come in our life, that we keep turning to Allah Ta'ala and keep getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. So, we had, Allahu A'lam, where we started off, but in any case, to come back to what we had planned to read from here and discuss. So the title of this excerpt here is Burai ka badla neki se dene ki talqeen, the encouragement that return bad treatment with good treatment. When it comes to dunya, then this is the standard. The exceptions will be minimal. Standard, you're always looking to get one better, all the time. And people sometimes complain about it, that the quality of life now, I need to improve the quality of life. What does he mean by the quality of life? I'm still driving this very small car, I need to have a better car. I'm still living in this small house, I need to have a better house. So that's the meaning of quality of life, that now we want better material things. So now, that's our approach to dunya. But our approach to deen, then it is what I'm already doing so much. But in dunya, even after that so-called quality of life has been, meaning in terms of material things, whereas that itself is not quality of life. Quality of life is something inside. Otherwise, I never would have ever heard a person in the lap of luxury committing suicide. A person with all the wealth in the world committing suicide. Or let alone suicide is a far off thing, that a person in the midst of all whatever he can want and desire in terms of dunya, but he's totally depressed in that. Why would that ever be the case? So the quality of life doesn't come from that. But if the quality of life is there, then a person will enjoy what he has. Allah's ni'mat, he'll enjoy that too. And he'll make shukr for it. So in any case, the issue is that in terms of dunya, we all the time have this approach that we want something better. So now when we got that better, so there's also still something better than that too. So then there's a sense of discontentment with this, what has already been achieved. So now something more. And then when that comes, then there's still something more. So that lack of contentment will keep the person in that chakkar all the time. But that's our approach to dunya. It's always something better, something more. And deen, we always look at as if there's so much I'm doing already. So now already so much, so now I can't be expected to do more. Whereas in deen, that should be our approach. How to keep improving and progressing in our deen. So now this particular topic and this subject matter that is here is about not stagnating at one point in terms of our akhlaq. And akhlaq is a very, very great aspect, to the extent that in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the person with the weightiest thing on the scales of good deeds, the day of Qiyamah, is good character, good akhlaq. Good akhlaq, which is the Sharia talks about akhlaq, not just confined to the etiquette. Etiquette is part of akhlaq, but that's not the akhlaq that is being emphasized in the Quran and Sunnah. That is far greater and beyond that. So now, a person should never ever feel that mashallah, my akhlaq is very good. I am tremendously already accomplished. No, there's a lot still to accomplish. Plenty. Our life will come out. So to all the time be aspiring to get closer to Allah Ta'ala through good akhlaq as well. And to all the time be trying to work towards improving that akhlaq. So in that regard, one aspect is that we don't harm anybody. That is fundamental. That is not something of like any achievement. That is like a person didn't perform his first salah. He's in big trouble. And if he performed his first salah, alhamdulillah, Allah's fazal, that's a great amal. But now he's not going to go and gloat about it. In fact, he's still feeling that I'm far behind now. MashaAllah, the farz I did. But even the sunnah, muakkada is getting left sometime. If that's getting done, then the ghair muakkada is getting left. And nawafil, my life is absent of, totally void of any nawafil. I still got a lot to do. So he's not feeling like he's gone far ahead. Yes, alhamdulillah, that's a very great thing that the faraiz are being fulfilled. So likewise, the farz of akhlaq is that we don't cause any harm and taklif to anybody. That's the farz of akhlaq. But there's much, much more beyond that. And beyond that is that a person learns to forgive. And then even beyond that, he learns to return bad treatment with good treatment. Now, this is not an ordinary thing. But in dunya also, we don't talk about ordinary things. Person who, he doesn't know whether he's going to be able to meet all the bills by the end of the month. But you'll hear him also talking big, big talk. That someday he wishes to do this and he wishes to do that. And sometimes a person is feeling very down and depressed. Why? Because I don't think the way things are going, I'm ever going to manage to do this and that. Do that. For example, own my own house. It's not farz to own one's own house. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed somebody, well and good. The bulk of the population of dunya live in rented accommodation, the majority. But now it's an aspiration. Nothing wrong with that aspiration. That a person feels more, secure in a sense. Then for his family now, he wants some kind of security. Nothing wrong with it. It's well in. No problem with it at all. But it's an aspiration. But it's not a farz. If the owning one's own house was farz, then now maybe 70-80% of the world's population, they don't live in their own owned accommodation. Or if it is owned, then it will be probably something which is like a 2x2. More than that, they can't afford to own something. So the point is that that is not that every person is compulsory for him to own something, but his aspiration is there. He's desiring it. He's wishing for it. And if it doesn't seem like it may happen, then he's feeling down about it. Well, it's not farz. He's feeling down about it. Now he's feeling, hey, when will this ever work out? So now why he's feeling down? Because this is something that he's got an aspiration for. And now he can't seem to figure out how it can work out for him. So though he is living in something very simple, very basic, and life is carrying on, Nothing is affected in day-to-day life. Everything is carrying on fine, but his aspiration and goal is somewhere up there. That's the standard story about dunya. He's driving something, it's taking him from point A to B, but from time to time he's feeling a bit down now, because he's seeing now somebody else or whatever, or he also wants to now. So for dunya, this is how it works. So for deen too, we should talk big. Talk big in the hope that, and in the aspiration that, we also get there someday, inshallah, with the fazal of Allah Ta'ala. So don't feel content with our extent of deen. Contentment is for dunya. Contentment is in terms of dunya. In deen, if a person becomes content, they call him qani', then qani' doesn't remain at that level then. When he becomes content with his amount of deen, then he starts sliding backwards. It may be maybe months, maybe much more, sometime a year, that he might not do anything additional yet. For example, whatever he's doing, his amal, he's doing his farz, he's doing so many nawafil, he's making so much tilawat, he's making so much zikr. He hasn't yet increased on that in any way for months, maybe 1 year, 2 years to go on. That's what he's doing, he's carrying on. But his aspiration is to try and do more, then that too takes him out of this being just content. Because he's not content with this, that I'm done now, there's nothing more for me to do. He wants to do something more, but he's just not getting that ability to put it in. So he, inshallah, will at least maintain this. He's aspiring to do more. The effect of it will be that, inshallah, he'll hopefully maintain this. But if he starts feeling this is good enough, I don't need to do anything more, gradually you'll see the decline coming. So in deen, we have to always be aspiring for more. We talk big, meaning not talk big as if we're doing it, talk big in terms of what our hope is, that with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, we want to do that as well. We also want to get there. Then inshallah, someday that too will become a reality with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. So now this might sound like a bit too big for us, out of our range. But we keep talking about things in dunya that are out of our range. So that we must curtail. Talk about that which is in our range then. And in deen, talk about things that out of our range, but it seems so, but there's nothing out of our range. It is well within our range, it's our weakness, but we aspire for it, we make dua for it, Allah Ta'ala will grant us that tawfiq as well. So now this is something on a higher level, and it is indeed on a high level. Because in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, this has been explained, that idfa billati hiya ahsan. So in another ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Who can act on this? That if somebody has treated him badly, he will still return that bad treatment with good treatment. Not everybody's job. Not everybody is capable of it. Not everybody has the heart to do it. Because you need a heart for it. Not everybody has that heart. Who has that heart and who will do it? Allah says, number one, they are endowed with true sabr. They have genuine sabr in them. And they are people, ذو حظ عظيم. They are people who have a very great good fortune for them. They are very greatly fortunate people. People who have been blessed with great good fortune. That good fortune comes out in this way, subhanallah. If somebody says to us, you're fortunate, then at least it will mean that maybe he's going to give me a fortune or something. So in our mind, we'll only go into some worldly aspect, that that's the only way to be fortunate. If some ni'mat comes in terms of dunya also, and Allah is blessed with some halal ni'mat, Allah's grace, Allah's ni'mat it is, must make shukr on that too. But the greater good fortune is those things that bring us closer to Allah Ta'ala. So what kind of car a person drives, it's a halal ni'mat, and he got it in a correct manner, he's not becoming proud over it, he's not transgressing Allah's commands, alhamdulillah, it's a ni'mat, he makes shukr on it, he'll get sawab for it, but that itself doesn't bring him closer to Allah Ta'ala. what kind of clothing a person is wearing, meaning what brand and what quality and how expensive. So if he afforded something better and he is not using it in a way that crosses any line of deen, he's not displeasing Allah Ta'ala in any way, then fine, it's a ni'mat, make shukar on it, he'll get sawab for that. But because he wore that amount, that type of garment which was so expensive, that doesn't bring him one step closer to Allah Ta'ala. But what brings him closer to Allah Ta'ala are these ni'mats of deen. Now this is one such aspect which is on a high level. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. So now, at least aspire for it. At least make dua for it. If you still don't have the heart to do it, but at least make dua for it. When we make dua for it, we'll get the heart to do it. We aspire for it, we'll start getting the courage to do it. But if we take it that this is not for me, then even what we think is for me too will slip away. So this is a very big lesson that is being given here. Jis shakhs se tumko takleef pahunche hai, isse tum meherbani karo. Are they saying, the one who has caused you some takleef, you do some favor to him. Allah ke khas muqarrab aur wali hona chahte ho, to dil gurda ko mazboot kar lo. It depends now what you want. You want to drive in a i10, no problem. That's also fine. You'll get to your destination. No problem with that. But if you want to be flying first class, then that is going to take something else. So therefore, as I'm saying, if you want to become the very special close servant of Allah Ta'ala, and you want to become his very close friend, then strengthen your heart first. Dil gurda ko mazboot kar lo. Meaning strengthen your heart for a lot of things. A lot of things which are just taken for granted. But you want to get there to a special position and place and closeness to Allah Ta'ala. That is the goal, to get close to Allah Ta'ala. To become Allah Ta'ala's close servant. So then you must strengthen your heart and strengthen yourself. Meherbani ke badle meherbani karna kya kamal hai. If somebody has done a favor to you, and you do a favor in return, what great achievement is this? If somebody has been good to us, and we have been good to him then, so what's so great about that? What great achievement is that? Kafir bhi meherbani ke badle meherbani kar leta hai. There's even a disbeliever does. Person who has some sense of some humanity in him. So though he is devoid of iman too, that little humanity, he does to this. Somebody does him a favor, he's ready to do a favor in return. Hazrat gives one incident of his. Pratapgarh mein ek shadeed zarurat mein, maine ek baniye se qarz manga. Kaha ke miyan jitna ji chahe le lijiye. Aapke baap dada ke mujh par bahut ehsanat hai. Ye jo bhi kuch aap dekh rahe hai, sab inhi ki badolat hai. This is once, while staying in Pratapgarh in India, I was in a very, very desperate situation, and out of that desperation, I had to ask for a loan from one banya, one Hindu person. So now, person was known to him, he was known to the person as well. So he asked that banya, please can you give me a loan? So there's no harm in borrowing, taking a loan, provided that a person has the full niyat and intention of paying it back. And he apparently has a plan in place, is something reachable, something achievable. It's not something that's really in the air. He has no idea how he's going to do it. He says, my niyat is there, but he is so deep already. He says, no, I'll pay you in 6 months' time. He is already wondering how he's going to, within 6 years, whether he'll manage to pay the other debts that he's already got. And now he's making a promise of 6 months. It's obvious this is not, it's not something that he can manage to do right now. He needs to be open about it. I need a loan. I don't know when I'm going to manage to pay. Inshallah, I'll pay as soon as I can. Don't say 6 months then. Because you within yourself know that I don't think it's going to be 12 months also. And that is deception. So there's no harm in asking, but be open about it. It's asking for a loan. Loan is fine. So the point is, Hazrat says that I needed this loan very desperately. So out of this desperate situation then, I asked from this person who was a Hindu. So he said, when I asked him for a loan, he told me, how much you want to borrow, tell me, no problem, whatever amount. He says, because your father and your grandfather did a lot of favors for me. And all that I am thriving on, they started me off. So now the point Hazrat is making here, that look, even this Baniya in Hindu, he felt obliged to return the favor. That my father or grandfather had done him favors. So despite being a Baniya and a Hindu, but even the Baniya too, he also felt obliged to return the favor. So if somebody has done favors to us, and we do favors in return, what kamal is this? What achievement is this? That even any person with little bit humanity in him will do that. جی ظلم کے بدلہ مہربانی کرنا دل گردہ والوں کا کام ہے بٹ ایف سمبڈی ہیز بین اوپریسڈ اینڈ ان ریٹرن ہی ڈز فیورز ٹو دا اوپریسر سمبڈی ہیز ہرٹ ہم سمبڈی ہیز گیون ہم سم تکلیف ہیز بین ناسٹی ٹو ہم ہیز بین مین ٹوورڈز ہم اینڈ ناؤ دس پرسن ہو ہیز بین ناسٹی بین مین کاز سم پرابلم فار ہم made some things difficult for him, unnecessarily put him into issues. And now he is doing a favor in return to such a person. Says, this is something that needs a heart. This is what needs a heart. The Ahlullah, they are referred to as Ahle Dil. They are referred to as Rijalul Qulub. Ahle Dil. They are people with hearts. So now they got hearts. Everybody got a heart. And that's why anybody, if he has a heart attack, forget that the whole heart went away. It was just a heart attack and can be fatal. So the heart stops functioning, then that's the end of life. So everybody has a heart. So what's so special about them that they are called Ahle Dil? That they are people of hearts, this kind of heart. This kind of heart. That the heart that has this inner strength, that it can undertake this kind of achievement, that the one who was mean, the one who was nasty, the one who was now causing problem for us, being difficult, just being very negative, and now somebody has the heart to still be positive and return that negative behavior, that nastiness, that meanness. Now, Allah Ta'ala is aware. Allah is aware. Allah is seeing the hearts. Allah is aware of what heart this person is doing it with also. Just as Allah is seeing somebody else's nastiness, which is being outwardly covered up with some other issue and making it look like, no, I'm not being nasty, it's actually your fault. Allah is seeing all that too. Allah is aware what's in the heart. Allah Ta'ala is aware what is motivating somebody's action. Whether it is some jealousy, for example, whether it is some malice, whether it is some other greed of some sort, whether it is anything else, Allah is seeing all that is in the heart. And the person who is returning that ill treatment with good treatment, Allah is seeing his heart as well. Allah is seeing what struggle is going on in his heart. But he's a person of a heart and he is containing that. And he's containing it and doing what is supposed to be done. Not just to get past the past mark, but he's trying to earn a distinction. He's trying to get 100%. 100% who's going to get? But he's trying to get a distinction. Allah is aware of that too. So for that distinction, somebody just wants to pass. He just did a little bit and got past. And somebody wants a distinction, now he's burning the midnight oil. That person is snoring. He's burning the midnight oil. Who's burning the oil of his heart? Allah is seeing. Allah is aware of that. And just as that person burned the midnight oil, then the report came. Distinctions. And he's got a pass of a very high level. And therefore now they're even waiving all the fees and whatnot and carries on. So they are judging on whatever they saw. Sometimes they don't even know if the person cheated or not too. But Allah Ta'ala is all aware. Allah Ta'ala is aware of what is in the heart and what was done. and how the effort was made, what kind of sabr was undertaken, and all that for Allah's pleasure, and how that ill treatment was returned with good treatment. It's not, again, this is not the farz level. But someone wants a distinction. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. For our understanding, ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ, people who are destined for distinctions. People for whom Allah has reserved distinctions for them. So now we also want to get there, and we have to emulate them. And one step at a time, some small steps will inshallah lead to bigger steps, and those bigger steps will lead to leaps inshallah someday, with the fazal and karam of Allah Ta'ala. But we have to aspire for this. So this is the lesson Hazrat is giving. There's one couplet that he quotes here. Jafa binand wa mehribani kunand. In other words, makhluk says zulm dekho aur uske saath mehribani karo. That bear the zulm of people and still do favors to them, still be kind to them. Phattar ka kaleja chahe iske liye. Zulm dekh rahe aur mehribani kar rahe. You need to have a heart of steel. That's in the positive sense, not a hard heart. One is a hard heart. That's something else. A hard heart, it can't show any kindness. And a heart of steel can take a very great amount of difficulty and still smile about it. But something happening inside, but it's able to contain it, like that damn wall. So one is a weak little single brick wall. Some small amount of water to just rises. One person had a big problem that somehow, on a very heavy rain, and the water somehow got, water level raised within his yard because something got jammed up, drains. So it just, the water level came about half meter high, or a little bit more, it collapsed the whole precast fencing. The precast fencing can only hold that much of pressure. It can't contain more pressure than that. And this huge damn wall, what pressure is holding? So it doesn't mean there's no pressure. The pressure is there. But that damn wall has been engineered to be able to take that pressure. So now likewise, a person who, with that effort on his heart, with that constant mujahada, the dua which is absolutely essential, and turning to Allah Ta'ala for that help, and relating to the mashayikh and taking the advice how to get past the things that become obstacles in our way, then gradually that precast fence will come to a single brick wall, then a double brick wall, and then a reinforced wall, and someday that damn wall. Doesn't happen overnight. But provided the person wants to build a dam, if he wants to gain distinctions, then that distinction requires effort. So we're only concerned about the distinctions of dunya. It's time to start aspiring for the distinctions in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Aspiring for it, that's where it starts off from. And then when there's aspiration, then inshallah there'll be an effort also. And obviously the fundamental thing is dua. So this is the aspiration, that the person has to now build this damn wall within his heart, that then if this kind of pressure comes through, he's able to take it. Why must he want to take it? What should he take this pressure for? It's a common thing that now somebody starts putting pressure on us, say, I don't need all this pressure in my life. So yes, we don't need it. Nobody needs it. But when it comes, mustn't ask for it also. But when it comes, it's an opportunity to make use of it. It's not that you're going to be able to avoid it now because it's come already. But now either you have the capacity of containing the pressure or you're going to let loose. That precast wall is just going to just collapse. But then when it collapses, then that comes with its own problems then. But with a damn wall, so it could contain so much. So now when it contains so much, so now everybody benefits out of that, because that dam is serving the whole community. When the rains come, that dam is serving the whole community, is far and wide that water is reaching. So likewise, those who will make that heart where it can contain all these pressures, then Allah Ta'ala will make them a means of serving the communities. And they will satiate Allah knows best who. But now we have to build that. It doesn't happen without that effort. So this is part of that very great benefit that will come. Then let alone elsewhere, in a person within his own four walls, he'll be able to contain things. He'll be able to get past these issues. And he won't just get washed away with that little bit of pressure that came, and the person is gone, and then what not happens, and what he blurts out, and how he starts conducting himself, and how others start conducting themselves, and then from a small thing it becomes a huge drama, and Allah forbid homes break, because we didn't aspire for something greater. So we didn't try to build. That precast fence was good enough for us. And sometimes, forget the precast fence, that too was now already punctured in so many places. So this is something to make an effort on, and this is what Hazrat is explaining to us, that makhluk se zulm dekho, aur uske saath meherbani karo, phattar ka kaleja chahe uske liye. Zulm dekh rahe, aur meherbani kar rahe. And why is the person doing this? Kyunki hamara Allah humse razi ho jaye. Only purpose of, as mentioned, we don't ask for this kind of situation. We don't ask for pressures and difficulties to come upon us. We don't wish for that. But we have to build ourselves for anything. So that if the flood comes, then the dam wall will hold. So now what is here? What is the motivation? What is the purpose? So that my Allah becomes pleased with me. No other motivation. No other interest of any sort. No pat on the back wanted from anybody. Nobody acknowledged me. Nobody even noticed my presence. Forget acknowledged me. And nobody even made any, even expressed any gratitude, made any shukr. So if a person is doing something, that is obviously the requirement that a person must express the gratitude. That is his responsibility. But the one who is doing something for Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't need it. La nuridu minkum jaza'u wa la shukura. Say, we don't even want any recompense from you. We don't even want you to say jazakal. We not wanting from you. That's your responsibility. You do it, is up to you. But that's not what we want. Innama nut'imukum liwajhi Allah. The ayat starts off with, innama nut'imukum liwajhi Allah. We feed you, meaning those who are feeding somebody. And then in the broader context, it will be anything that a person is doing for somebody else. He's feeding somebody, he's doing a favor to him. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Likewise, anything he does for somebody, innama nut'imukum liwajhi Allah. Doing it for Allah's pleasure. And if it is for Allah's pleasure, la nuridu minkum jaza'a wa la shukura, we're not even wanting any recompense, any return in any form, and let alone any return in the form of something material or some other favor in return. We don't even are wanting within ourselves that you should at least express the gratitude. That is now true ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala. And that is when something was done purely for Allah Ta'ala, 100%. Allah must become pleased. So now likewise here also, the quest and the want to try and build the heart for this is for what? Not to become a hero. Allah Ta'ala must become pleased. Because Allah knows best whether we're here today and whether we're still going to be here tomorrow or not. We have no idea. All our being heroes and all that will get left one side. Suddenly moth comes, none of those things are going to come along with us. What will come is what we did for Allah Ta'ala alone. What we did for Allah Ta'ala, we did some ibadat for Allah Ta'ala, that will come. We did some khidmat of somebody for Allah Ta'ala, that will come. We did whatever good for Allah Ta'ala alone, that will be of help to us in our qabr. It will help already at the time of moth. These things that are done with ikhlas, sincerely, for Allah Ta'ala alone, these aspects become a great aid at the time of moth, And this helps an easy death. And then the qabr, on the day of qiyamah, this is what's going to count. What was done? Solely for Allah Ta'ala. So likewise, this aspect as well, solely for Allah Ta'ala, to be able to not just forgive, but return somebody's ill treatment with good treatment. Now, if everybody adopted this policy, then the last thing we would hear is any complaint. Because to start off with, if a person adopts this policy, then that's never going to happen that he's going to deliberately hurt anybody. When he's going to have this kind of heart, and he's never going to be mean to anyone, or nasty to anyone. When he has this kind of heart, that kind of heart can only be when that heart is clean of malice, of jealousy, of all the other ailments of the heart. So then, subhanallah, this person is way ahead, and very easily he'll be able to adopt all these good qualities to the extent that he'll be able to return bad treatment with good treatment. To all Allah Ta'ala's fazal, karam, ihsan, Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to make an effort and improve our akhlaq, improve all aspects of deen, and to make dua for this, to aspire to become the true and close servants of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A few minutes you can engage in dua. Inshallah.